We love you, Lord. If you'd permit me for just a few minutes. Acts chapter 2. Praise God. Beginning of verse 1. I told Brother Bradley if I ache too much, I'll just call him up. Hallelujah. It's great to be here in church. And thank God for the Spirit of the living God. I want to read to you Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. Verse 4, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's love him for his word. Let's love him for his word. Hallelujah. God, we thank you for the real Holy Ghost. We thank you for the real Holy Ghost that you promised you pour upon all flesh, and you did. Thank you for the promise of the Father. Thank you, Lord, for the Comforter. Thank you for the leader into all truth. Thank you, Lord, for the fountain of living water opening up in the house of David. Thank you, Lord, for a river of life clear as crystal. We love you for it. In Jesus' name. And everyone said amen.
Amen.
You may be seated. Praise the Lord. If you'll permit me for a few minutes tonight, I'd just like to talk about the real Holy Ghost. Praise God. The real Holy Ghost that is real and is still real today. It cannot be explained away. It cannot be taught away. It cannot be unbelieved away. Amen. It cannot be diminished. God will not inhale what he exhaled just because there are a lot of crazy people that don't want to receive the promise of the Father. The promise of the Father is still the promise of the Father. And in him is yea, and in him is amen. Praise God. All the promises of God are true. God cannot tell a lie. When he said, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, Joel chapter 2, verse 28 and 29, he promised it and he did it. I'm not asking him and looking forward to someday pouring it out. It's been poured out. The problem is not with the Lord. Hallelujah. He held up his end of the bargain. And I just want to say, in the midst of this wicked and adulterous and nasty and idolatrous and crazy, unbelieving world, amen, God has still poured his spirit upon all flesh. Amen. That all wicked flesh have not become so wicked that God has decided to, I'm taking it back. As long as the world is still turning, as long as the sun rises in the east and sets in the west, amen, this word of God is still active.
Amen.
Hallelujah. It's still active. It makes no difference if we're able to send big telescopes to orbit Mars or we find habitable planets. It makes no difference how far we try to go. It will not change the fact that in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Amen. And that God, amen, poured his spirit upon all flesh. Amen. And his spirit is still here to be received because it must be received. Amen. If we're going to make heaven our home.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Must be. Praise God. You know, it's all the rage in the news today and the economic world, the craze now of AI. You hear about it everywhere you go. It's talk of on everyone's tongue. It's the next newest thing. But no matter how much AI, artificial intelligence, the world is able to make and create so that it's smarter than even mankind, man still needs to repent. Hallelujah. Makes no difference how rich they become, how smart they become, how much technology. Makes no difference if we were able to, in our lifetime, see, you know, pilotless taxis that are able to fly us from Norwich to New London. Man still needs to repent. Man still needs to be buried by baptism into death. Man still needs to be filled with the incredible, awesome gift of the Holy Ghost. Praise God, praise God. We read to you four verses of Scripture And I'm reading to you one more time because I want to talk to you about something in these four verses very briefly here tonight. But nevertheless, I want to talk to you about it because, you know, sometimes you get troubled when you hear interpretations, even from amongst your own. And this is nothing new. Pastors talked about these things for years, and not everyone's understanding is fruitful. And we don't hold that against anybody. We don't throw stones at people because they don't understand. We all need understanding, right? That's why the scripture is there for all of us to read in Proverbs 3 with all you're getting, and Proverbs 4 as well. Get understanding and lean not unto your own understanding, right? We need the understanding that comes from God, the Isaiah 11 understanding, speaking of Jesus that would come with the spirit of understanding. There's no one that understands better than he does. And just on a side note, we always need to be careful, no matter how knowledgeable we become or we feel like we're becoming in the Word of God, we need to never allow that to put us on a pedestal somewhere where we're above, or that we're better, or that we have more than others. The more you know, the more responsibility you have with what you know. And the more I think it puts upon us the need to seek for wisdom on how to reach people with that knowledge. Because the more knowledgeable you become, the more ignorant others become. The more you recognize ignorance, the wiser you become, the more foolishness and folly is exalted and amplified in your sight. It's just the way it works. When you're knowledgeable and you're gaining knowledge on things and you're amongst people that don't have that knowledge, and if it's everyday living knowledge, you will instantly sense the level of ignorance that's around you. And sometimes it can be tough. And so that's sort of the pluses and minuses of being born again and walking with God and growing in grace, is that we have to endure. And the endurance part is for us, but it's also for them, because the more we increase, the more we have to endure with what we have, because what's around us doesn't have what we have. But we want it to. And so here's where we seek for the will of God to help us to be able to pour out what we have as he poured out, because God so loved. So there's always in him, right? It's more blessed to give than to receive. And if we can get a hold of that recipe in the way he's got it, we will pour out more than we will complain. And I'm not talking about what you're saying tonight, Brother Mike. I'm talking about with the wicked world that we live in, instead of being so recognizing the wickedness of the world, we will be ready to sort of flood the wickedness of the world with the righteousness that's in God. Because there's more righteousness in God than there is wickedness in the world. Isn't that right? Well, we just say it in a different way. Greater is he that is in us, right, than he that's in the world. Praise God. So when we look at the abundance of the joy and the grace that we have, he has a way of changing our thinking when our understanding is open, so that now we're looking at people and life differently. We're looking at, instead of attacking, instead of defending, we're trying to find nooks and crevices to pour into. I mean, why should I wait for the enemy to come in like a flood? He'll try to, but we've got a dam if he comes in like a flood. It's called Jesus. He can stop any flood. But now the world don't have one. They serve the devil, and he's not a dam, but he is damned. And I'm not cussing. I'm just using words here tonight. Praise God. Isn't that right? So they can't stop our flood, and they need our flood. Praise the Lord. Remember, God flooded the earth because of the wickedness and destroyed everything. But now he has poured out water, spiritual water, upon all flesh, not to destroy, but now to save. Yes. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. It all depends on our outlook on things. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. I don't think we should ever allow anyone's doctrinal beliefs to stop us from being able to minister to them. No matter how heady or high-minded they may appear, if we can approach them where they are not set on defense, and we can approach them in the spirit of Christ, we can minister to anybody. Praise God. We can minister to anybody who wants to be ministered to, because whether they're already trying to be Christians or they're not Christians at all, there's always going to be unbelievers and untrue people amongst both crowds.
Isn't that right? In the Jews' religion, they had the unbelieving, whether they were Pharisee or scribe, they were the hard-hearted, where Jesus looked them straight at the in the face and said, you're of your father the devil. But yet he looked at Nathanael and said, before you came to me when Philip called you, I saw you under the fig tree. And he said, behold, an Israelite indeed in whom is no guile. So not everyone is an unbeliever. But now Jesus just said those words to old Nathan. He said, you're the Son of God. Didn't even give him a chance to size him up. He's just already, he's like, do you believe? Just because I told you that, you're going to see greater things than this. And that's what we're looking for. We're looking to find every nook and cranny and every avenue where we can just pour into. Every soul winner has found a way to minister to the soul. Praise God. No matter what condition that they're in. Because we're coming to them in the form and in the spirit of the Savior who always looks at things the way he looks at things. And the part where our prayer and our fasting and our dedication, what that does is it subdues us and it exalts him. So that when we approach the blind man in John chapter 9 and our mindset could be, oh, this person was a sinner or their parents were a sinner. That's why they were born blind. Instead, Jesus can say, no, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. Right. Praise God. That's why he's here, because he's fixing to have a miracle. And if we could just have that in everything that we do, if we can just look for the miracle, praise God, and look for the idea that, wait a minute. See, we can be so overwhelmed by life and forget that life's been overwhelmed by God. Hallelujah. When he poured his spirit upon all flesh, he changed everything. Amen. When Calvary, when that last drop of blood was dripping from his veins and he said, it is finished, that marked the beginning of the end of this world. Whether people understand that or not, it meant it is now the last time. And in this last time, God poured out his very best. Amen. Hallelujah. He didn't give second best. He gave his very best in order to rescue fallen man and give them the greatest opportunity and the greatest chance to get into this ark once and for all. Praise God. He wants more than 8 souls saved by water. Praise God. Praise God. But now he's got millions and millions and no doubt billions converted unto him. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So in Acts chapter 2, that was a side note. When the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all where they were supposed to be. Let me just say it like that. They were all where Jesus said to be. And they were with one accord in one place. And we know from the previous chapter that they were gathered together and they were praying consistently. Because if there is anything that will bring the power of the Holy Ghost into your life, it is prayer. Consistent prayer, fervent, effectual prayer, as Brother Mike was talking about. It is relentless prayer. It is obedient prayer. It is expecting prayer. Prayer that expects something from the Lord, especially if it's a gift. God poured his spirit upon all flesh. If you've repented, you've been buried by baptism into death, you've been baptized in Jesus' name, the scripture says, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. It's not a receiving it in defense because, you know, that's all the church people talk about. And if I don't get it, I'm not part of the group. And I feel like I'm left out if I don't have it. Don't think of it that way. You need, when you come to church, if you're not yet filled with the Holy Ghost, you need to feel like this is a promise. This is a gift. God wants me to have it. It's a must because this is going to make me one of the children of the Most High God. The saints want me to have it. Don't be here in defense. Be here as a receptacle. Praise God. Hallelujah. Be here and develop inside of your soul, no matter, and crucify any thought that would suggest that the Spirit of God is something less than what you think you need to have. Because we must be filled with the Holy Ghost. It's not an option. Please understand that. Jesus taught and said, those that believe on his name, this is a presence that we must receive. They that believe on him should receive. So we've got John chapter 1, verse 13. We've got John chapter 7, verse 37 through 39, letting us know. We've got Romans chapter 8, verse 9. and a plethora of other scriptures letting us know that our attitude and our take on the Spirit of God should be this open, I want to, this is a must because this is going to make me one of His. It is, right? Romans 5, it is the spirit of adoption whereby we cry, Abba, Father. No spirit, no adoption. I want to be adopted into the beloved. I want to be a part of this kingdom. I don't want to be left out. I know what it's like to feel not on the inside of this thing while here in church service. And I suffered that for almost 2 months. And after I was filled with the Holy Ghost, you know, you kick yourself. Yeah, you look back and say, why? Why? Why didn't I just do this somewhere in December of 86? Why did I wait so long and run? Now I'm part of it. Now I'm a part of the worship. Now I'm here with my hands lifted up on the front row praising God, and I'm not in the back, and I'm not trying to jet to the bathroom, and I'm not trying to avoid the presence of God. Finally, I realized that His presence has been poured upon all flesh. Hallelujah, hallelujah. And when I develop that hunger inside of me, I want this, I want this. When you get that, you'll have exactly what God wants you to have. Praise God. You won't keep it from happening. Amen? Amen. Let's love Him one more time. Hallelujah. And let me say this to all that are in the house tonight. Make sure this experience doesn't become cold. Don't have an well, I had a good old tongue-talking time. Yeah, a couple years ago. Nah, keep this thing fresh and new in your life. Praise God. Don't die on the vine. You have more than what you realize. Okay, here we go. One place. So they're all where they're supposed to be. And at the moment when the day of Pentecost was fully come and God was going to fulfill His word, suddenly, now verse 2 and 3 describes verse 4. Suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. But it was not a rushing mighty wind physically. It was as of. It happened so fast. It rushed in so quickly that all of a sudden, while we were there praying, calling upon God, we've seen moments like this in our church service. We know exactly what happened on the day of Pentecost. There was not a single thing on the day of Pentecost that happened that has not happened here.
That's right.
Hallelujah. Will the real Holy Ghost please stand up? Praise God. I got tired of listening to these other versions of the Holy Ghost as if something different happened on the day of Pentecost. No, my friend, when God poured His Spirit upon all flesh, what He poured out was poured out. And every experience in that first century is the same experiences that happen today. He's the same God. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Amen. But what people need to understand, because here's what happens, and it can happen in the realms of, I'm going to use the word apostolic or Pentecostal, but what can happen in the realms of those that know what they should know is the same thing that happens in the denominational realm, where people are taught believing one thing, and they only know that. The same as Apollos in Acts chapter 18. He knew only the baptism of John, which was the baptism of repentance. But it was not the baptism of repentance and remission of sins in Jesus' name. It was a baptism of confessing of sin and looking forward to the one that should come. That was his baptism, to turn the hearts of the fathers back to the children to the fathers, and everyone looking for the Messiah. He was the forerunner saying, He's coming. And that's all that Apollos knew. But that brother and sister in the Lord, companions of the Apostle Paul in travel, tent makers, Priscilla and Aquila, took him aside and expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. They didn't beat him on the head. They didn't say, oh, you're John the Baptist? Oh, you're a Baptist? Where have you been? No, they didn't cop an attitude. They didn't slam him down, because John was a prophet of the Lord. And what John preached was the word of God. And what he taught was the word of God. But he wasn't the only thing. It didn't stop there. It began there. The beginning of the gospel was John's preaching of repentance. That's what Mark said. So now they took a man who was stuck at the beginning, and And they brought him to the one who said, I am the beginning and the ending. I am the first and the last. I am Alpha and Omega. Because we need Alpha and Omega. And what we're trying to help the denominational world come to is their Omega. Praise God. The scripture says in Hebrews 12 that he's the author and he's the finisher of our faith. And we're simply trying to help you get in Christ where you are complete in him, the head of all principality and power. Because some are yet to get in Christ. They're walking up the staircase, but they haven't got to the 13th step yet. Amen?
Amen.
Well, that's the truth. Whether they want to believe that or not, it's the truth. We know that. So we're going to try to help them, even though they may not know we're helping them. So they helped Apollos. You can read for yourself the last part of Acts 18. So verse 2 and 3. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. This is a description. Verse 3 is a description. And there appeared unto them cloven, divided tongues, like as of fire. It did not say literal fire sat upon their heads. It said like as of fire. No man has seen God at any time. The scripture says, and the Word, right? And the Word was made flesh. Listen to the terminology. And the Word was made flesh, John 1:14, and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory. The glory, as of. No man has seen God at any time, verse 18 of the same chapter. So how did we see him? As of. The only begotten of the Father. So it's very important to pay attention to when scriptures say, as of. A rushing mighty wind, because everybody understands what a rushing mighty wind does. And all the scripture is saying is the Holy Ghost came in like a rushing wind, a mighty wind. Yes. Praise God. And filled the house.
Yes. Jesus.
Where everybody was sitting and praying. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues. What was he saying? When the Holy Ghost fell upon all flesh, all of a sudden they all started speaking with tongues and magnifying God and praising God. It was like fire. Oh, hallelujah. It was like fire. Praise God. And it sat upon each of them. When you receive the Holy Ghost, it sat upon you. It fell upon you. Same Holy Ghost as the day of Pentecost. Not a different Holy Ghost. He did not do something different on the day of Pentecost to initiate this thing. What he did then, he's doing now. Hallelujah. Just because it's in some painting from the 16th century or the 13th century doesn't make it right. It's hard for people to visualize things. How do you paint the day of Pentecost? I mean, if the painter had understanding, the only thing he could do is just show them all in poses of drunken people. That's all they could do. How do you show wind when there wasn't a wind? It was a spirit. How do you draw or paint the spirit? But what happens is when they try to do a physical representation by putting flames, people believe, oh, it was real flames. And they don't read the word, even though they're reading the word. They read the word as there appeared fire over their heads. And then you get into that dumb theological argument that says, well, if it's the same Holy Ghost, then there should be fire today. And then you get into the argument, see, based upon ignorance and not knowledge. And then you kind of go back and say, let's look at this verse in an English lesson. English, like as, like this,
right.
Not this, like this.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've never seen anybody in this house that worshiped and spoke with tongues where it wasn't like fire when it fell. And fire and in demonstration where some of you didn't act like absolute drunken fools. When you yielded yourself to God and just had a good old church time, praise God, loving God, and we know, look, there have been times when we've all prayed and all of a sudden it was just like a fireball. Just it started with one and phew, everybody.
Yes.
What is that? It is Acts 1, 2, 3, and 4.
Yes.
Same spirit.
Amen.
The real Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Let's love him. Oh, let's love him. Hallelujah. Praise God. What I'm here to say tonight is, as we cut through all the stupidity, is we're here to say God's a real God. He's a real presence. He really fills people with the Holy Ghost today. He hasn't stopped doing it. People speak with other tongues as the Spirit gives them the utterance. They still do it today. And I don't care if I had an audience or an auditorium full of all sorts of intellectual people who have studied and gotten all sorts of degrees. Let me tell you something. If you've got degrees of theology hanging on your wall, but you are not full of the Holy Ghost, you have a wall full of empty paper. That don't mean a thing. If you're not filled with this presence of God that rushes in like a wind, that flows fast like fire, and that has not caused you to speak in a heavenly tongue, you don't have anything yet. You studied and still are empty. Oh, God, but you won't be empty when he fills you, with a spiritual experience that still happens in our world today. Oh, bless the Lord, oh my soul. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hey, let's all stand here tonight. Praise God. The real Holy Ghost. The real Holy Ghost. Praise God. I'm here to tell you tonight, the real Holy Ghost is really here. Praise God. There's no reason why all of us should not be filled with the promise of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. 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 Praise the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Do not be tempered by this world. Become tempered by God. Hallelujah. Become tempered by God. I've said it before in a previous service. I'll pray it again. Lord, let every one of our services be so stirred that any sinner among us becomes uncomfortable. Glory, anyone among us that's not full of the Holy Ghost becomes uncomfortable. Anyone that's not had the Holy Ghost for a while and you haven't talked in tongues and blessed the Lord, you become uncomfortable. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Remember, it's the Holy Ghost that's taking us from here to there. I need to be full of the Holy Ghost. It's the oil, praise God, that's going to walk me into glory. If we are all still alive when the Lord returns, the scripture says that Christ, who is our life, shall appear. We shall appear with him in glory. We are full of the Spirit of Christ. What's the direction of the appearing? Quite like we imagine it to be. But it is the way he imagines it to be. Praise God. I want to make sure that deep can call unto deep. Praise God. I want to make sure there's a river of life, pure as gold and clear as crystal, that's flowing in my life. Nothing's more important. Sometimes we go through things to show us what's most important. Sometimes we burn out. Sometimes we stop. Sometimes life stops us right in our tracks. Praise God. We only have one direction to look, and that's up. Praise God, to remember that in this life, everything is temporal. But in the eternal life, everything's eternal. Hallelujah. And there are just some things that are more important than others. We've got to be reminded that this is more important than anything. More important than job, relationship, education, praise God. I must be full of the real Holy Ghost. Glory, hallelujah, praise him. Praise him. Praise him. Praise him. Praise him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise him. Glory unto him. Bless his holy name. Hallelujah. Bless his holy name. Bless his holy name. Thank you, Jesus. See, it's the Lord, not Bible colleges, not smart intellectual people, not the rich and the mighty.
God hath chosen the poor of this world rich in faith to reveal a people who would, with stammering lips and another tongue, speak unto the Lord. If your tongue can raise its voice and argue, that's the tongue God wants to talk through. We've cursed and sworn. We've said all manner of things in our lifetime, in our past lifestyle. But it was the one thing that gets yielded to God, the one unruly member that is the helm of humanity. And that is our tongue. The tongue that lied, the tongue that gossiped, the tongue that stirred all sorts of problems, praise God. The tongue that cursed the very name that we were later baptized in. The very tongue that repented of it all. And as we were turning and repenting, the Holy Ghost came and started talking. As we gave our life to God, don't be afraid of this thing. Amen. Don't be afraid of speaking with other tongues. You can't manufacture it. You can't make it happen. It comes when you're finally able to yield your every desire and give in and say, Lord, I want everything you have for me. Turn all the preachers off that are telling you differently. Crucify your raising. Realize that this book from Genesis to Revelation promises that God would pour his spirit upon all flesh. Because he knew that's the only way I can save them is by getting in them. So I want you to think about this if you're still fighting. The scripture says, 1 Corinthians 6, but he that is joined unto the Lord, one spirit. John 17, Jesus said, Father, my prayer is in the days of his flesh, so that all could hear him on his way to Gethsemane, said, Father, that they may be one as we are. Said that they may be filled with the Holy Ghost. And he told his disciples on the way of Gethsemane, just hours from the cross, he said, I will not leave you comfortless, I will come to you. When we're filled with the Holy Ghost, we're filled with the Spirit of Jesus Christ. Amen. Whom the heaven, Acts 3 and 20, must receive. He will send Jesus Christ, whom the heaven must receive. We must receive him. See, the true receiving Christ the Savior is when you're full of the Holy Ghost. And when you're full of the Holy Ghost, he receives you. So let's come and pray. I'm not here to single anybody out. I've been where everybody is who's holding back. I could talk to you. I've already talked to you about how I held back. Everybody has their own story. I know the signs. Jesus is still going to reach for you. This is a Holy Ghost, Jesus' name baptizing church. This is a church that believes in speaking with other tongues as the Spirit gives the utterance. This is a church that detests anyone who says the Holy Ghost is not for us today. So let's pray. God, my prayer is that all might be saved in this house. That the real Holy Ghost, God, will be in our lives. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Their lives will surrender to the real Holy Ghost. Let our services be filled with the real presence of the Almighty God. Praise God. Touch tired minds and bodies and aches and pains and troubles and tribulations. And God, I pray that a year of Jubilee will refill this house every time we're together. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. That victory will overcome sorrow. Praise God that endurance and patience in the presence of God will make it all worth it. Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, bless you, Lord.
all over again, fresh and new. Teach us how to pray and break through. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah.